A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Thanks for joining us this morning and for making Eagle FM your number one choice this morning. So it's the first day of the week, a Monday morning. I hope you had a very restful weekend and ready to contribute to in your own unique way, to contribute in your own unique way on the economic growth and development of this country. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. So my name is Mike Oshavili, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matters most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the story. And also every Monday, as usual, so from quarter past seven, we will cross to my colleague HD from our studio in Windhoek for the F&B Namibia segment. And around 8 o'clock, we cross back to Ondangwa, to Mwa, and we continue as usual. So our time is 35 minutes past the hour of 7, and today is the 14th of April, and let's see what happened on this day in Africa. So in 1830, on the 14th of April, 1830, the kingdom of Dahomey, modern day Benin, established a slaving port on the Gulf of Guinea due to its success in capturing and enslaving people during military conquest. So this port, named Cotonou, meaning by the river of death in Fon language, later became the capital of Benin. And on the 14th of April 1967, Lieutenant Colonel Gnassingbé Eyadema led a military coup in Togo, overthrowing President Nicolas Grunitzky, and Eyadema assumed the presidency and maintained power for the next 38 years, making him one of the African longest serving leader. So his tenure was marked by authoritarian rule, suppression of political opposition, and efforts actually to maintain the stability in the country. So, and in 1986, on the 14th of April 1986, the United States launched an airstrike against Libya in retaliation of the Libyan government's alleged involvement in a terrorist activities. So the operation targeted military installation in Tripoli and Benghazi. So, and also on the 14th of April 2014, Boko Haram attack in Nigeria. Boko Haram attacks in Nigeria. Two major incidents occurred: a bombing at a bus station in Nyanya near Abuja killed at least 88 people and injured hundreds. Later that day, Boko Haram militant abducted, and I think this was international, it became actually one of the international contamination. So the military abducted 276 schoolgirls from a secondary school in Chibok, Borno State. So this mass kidnapping drew international contamination and led to the global hashtag Bring Back Our Girls campaign. I hope you remember that. And despite effort to rescue them, many of the girls remain in captivity for years, with some still actually unaccounted for. So that was some of the events that happened in Africa on this day in history. So what is the thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? The higher the monkey climbs, the more he shows his tail. It's a nice one. So the higher the monkey climbs, the more he shows his tail. Now, the proverb means that as someone gains higher status or achieves greater visibility, their flaws, weaknesses, or imperfection become more apparent. Now, the more prominent someone becomes, the more they are observed and judged by others. This can expose vulnerability or mistake that might have gone unnoticed before. So these proverbs highlight the importance of humility and self-awareness, so especially when ascending to higher roles in life or society. So, and that goes to those who have taken up, you know, public office. Definitely you have entered a space where you are being more scrutinized than before. And, this might expose now vulnerability and mistake that might have gone unnoticed before. So the higher the monkey climbs, the more he shows his tail. That's today, thought of the day. So, yeah, if you're just joining us, our time is about 40 minutes and at quarter past seven, we will cross to Windhoek, for the F&B, segment. So, but welcome and thanks for joining us this morning. So, and did you know Eagle FM is with you wherever you are. And wherever you go, that's right, accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone. And if you download the Eagle FM application, the Eagle FM mobile apps, you are instantly connected to the news, your favorite shows, and many other stories that really matters. And it doesn't stop there. Our sister e-paper, our sister e-newspaper, The Villager, keeps you in the know with business, economic news, and the latest policy developments. So, and you can grab your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. So, and if you're a business person, so we're making it easier than ever to grow your businesses. Our complimentary apps like Imba and Eagle FM app, you know, are perfect for boosting your product and service to a wide range of consumers. So let's not forget our social media platforms. So they are some of the most active in the country. So giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibility. So contact us at 083-288-400. And do that right now. You can do it right now. So stay connected, stay informed, stay connected, and stay ahead with Eagle FM and our extended media families. So we will tune after this. We cross to our colleague in Windhoek for F&B segment.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafasana Longishifa Yai Shuikemoshiwana. E Moyawa. ota ingongo tisa mweni. Ana josefua ya Namibia, ombi jombwa na wa onjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa iwe, yongesefua yoyo kupitila mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende timeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimu po iyo moe programa detu. Moambo, lengira soma, kondara heta tuimu. Datunga tu, heari jamano tano, ombi aji. Eagle FM, the other.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
All right, welcome to another edition of the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Today we'll be talking to security officer at FNB Namibia, Mr. Gerardo Liebenberg. Mr. Gerardo, how are you doing this morning?
Wonderful. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, let's get right into the topic of today on how we're going to continue to protect our customers. So considering that there was a recent case in the media where a person was defrauded using AnyDesk, let's talk about social engineering. What is it and exactly how does it work?
Well, social engineering is when a scammer tricks you into giving them your personal information, like your banking details, your passwords, or even access to your devices, as what happens by pretending to be someone you trust.
Yeah.
Social engineering, in essence, is less about hacking your computer and more about manipulating your trust.
Okay. So how can one protect themselves from social engineering?
So a couple of tips would be to be skeptical of unsolicited calls or messages asking for your personal information or even remote access to your devices. Something else would be never to share OTPs, your passwords or PINs, even if the person claims to be from your bank or a trusted institution.
Yes.
And then thirdly, do not install applications like AnyDesk, TeamViewer, or even Quick Support unless you initiated the request and fully trust the other party.
Yes. And so, yeah, just to emphasize to the listeners that the bank will never call you to ask for any of the aforementioned things that you just mentioned.
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And so what should we know about protecting yourself from a fraudulent website, excuse me?
Well, fraudulent websites, companies, they instate security on their websites. The ways to see this is basically the prefix of the address. It starts with HTTPS. The S actually stands for secure.
Okay.
And then secondly also, when these websites are secure, you would see a padlock icon on the address bar. That also indicates that that the website is secure. And then thirdly, when you receive any messages or emails asking you or directing you to click on a link, it's best not to do so, and also to check out for spelling mistakes, and because the guys really, they try to fool us.
Yeah.
And they change an I to an L or so. It's something that the human eye don't on first impulse do not see.
Yes. Yes. So it's very important when people are surfing the net to make sure that they are on legitimate, safe websites.
Definitely, yes.
And so now following up on that, you know, when people are surfing these websites, I'm sure a lot of people enjoy doing online payments and so on. What are some secure payment options?
Well, to use trusted platforms like Apple Pay, PayPal, or bank-approved gateways, that is actually the way to go, and mm-hmm. also to avoid making payments to unfamiliar websites or through links sent through WhatsApp or social media.
Mm-hmm. And so following up on that, there's this thing called phishing. What exactly are phishing attempts?
Well, phishing is when cybercriminals pretend to be someone that you trust, yeah. like your bank or the ISP, say, operators, or so forth,
mm-hmm.
and they try to trick you into clicking on a link or to give away sensitive information.
Yeah.
These often come in the form of fake emails, SMSs, WhatsApps,
mm-hmm.
or even phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with phone calls, they tend to tell you that your account is suspended and you need to click on this link or do this to reactivate it, or something that especially we see a lot is that you won a prize and that you need to enter your details to claim the prize.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and once you click on those links, it is really easy for them basically to steal your personal information.
Mm-hmm.
It can go as far as your money, your identity.
Yeah, no, I've definitely received such messages before with links that on first look very, very legitimate, but you know, I always practice caution and encourage the listeners to do so as well, no matter how realistic the link might look. And so now, speaking of links, how would one know if the link that you receive or that you even might happen to click on, how would you know that you received an authentic link?
Well, first of all, hover over the link. The full web address should display, and by viewing that should also give you an indication if that is a legitimate site or not.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, rather browse the company's official websites than clicking on links.
Yeah.
So rather type in the address into your bar to ensure that you spell it correctly so that you access the official website and not some malicious site
mm-hmm.
that tries to steal your personal information or card details.
Right. And so staying on the theme of online shopping and so on, how can customers mitigate the risks of unwittingly exposing their card details online?
As I mentioned earlier, people should always use trusted websites,
yeah.
Trusted and secure websites, looking for the HTTPS prefix and the padlock icons to indicate that that's a trusted website. Avoid storing your card details on your browser, if not necessary. By all means, if two-factor authentication is possible,
mm-hmm.
to really reinstate that. And lastly, if you make use of online transactions or online payments regularly, to review your monthly statements just to ensure that there is no unauthorized transactions that might pop up.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the effort to stay connected, a lot of us make use of Wi-Fi in public spaces. But are there any dangers attached to using public Wi-Fi?
Yes, definitely. Public Wi-Fis, like in malls, airports, or even cafes,
yeah.
are often unsecured.
Uh-huh.
Hackers can easily intercept your transactions on that Wi-Fi, hackers really prey on those kind of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid opening any banking apps or making payments on public networks, if you need to do so, rather use a VPN to ensure that your personal or sensitive data is encrypted and no one can see it or access or intercept it. And then in the case where you do not have a VPN, to rather go onto your mobile data and complete those transactions which pertain to handling your personal or any financial information.
Right. So what is a SSL certificate on a website? Why is that something the listeners should know about?
Well, an SSL certificate ensures that the data you send to a website is encrypted. Mm-hmm. So hackers can't see what the information you're sending.
Yeah.
In essence, if an SSL certificate is inserted on the website, the address starts with the HTTPS prefix, and then you also see the padlock icon.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, if no padlock, don't trust the sites with your personal information, your sensitive information.
Exactly. Geraldo, thank you very much for your time. If there's anything else you can share about securing customer information online before we let you go this morning.
Well, yes, I'd say awareness is your first line of defense.
Yeah.
Always pause and think before clicking, sharing, or installing anything on your devices. If something feels off, trust your gut.
Exactly.
And then basically, keep your applications and all your software up to date, as that can also leave some leverage for someone to get in. Use strong and unique passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Ensure that you don't use one password across all your authentication. Rather, use different passwords for each and every aspect. Ensure that you back up your data regularly. And lastly, report any suspicious activity to the entity. Should it be the bank? To report any suspicious activity immediately.
All right, most definitely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time, Geraldo. And this has been another episode of the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here.
Thank you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha with the Trotabuna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafata Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, E. Moyawa, or Tango Botamani. Ana Jesifa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Omjika. Faithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Longishifa, Yokopiramo, Eagle FM Media House. We 22 Meha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkoshi pareki wimo po yo mo programa de tu moambo dengira soma kodara heta timu datunga tu heri jamano tano o miage Eagle FM for Ava.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle FM.
So welcome back, and thank you to HD for the F&B segment. So we're back here and on Dangwa studio, and we continue as we normally continues. Yeah, I've been trying to get through to my, to my guest this morning. Okay, just hold on for a few seconds and see if I can get through, and then we can start with the very first item on the show.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the RR.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital.
Omiaru odhurike kucha iponga ivurithia oma evi umurongo na gari ya vidiri kwa mwona mibia mvuraziko. Onkene onditara onora oyo awike umaru wiponga watamba kumojira detumo pasajika otashivurika sa shimpuyu minga shoka shumojira etohupitha omenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Now, today we are diving into one of the most groundbreaking development in Namibia's energy and industrial sector. So this past Friday marked the inauguration of the Hiron Shivela Green Hydrogen Plant, a 600 million facility near Arandas in the Erongo region. So it is not just another plant. It is Southern African first zero emission iron production facility. So a significant step in the global transition to cleaner energy and sustainable industrial practices. Now, to help us unpack the significance of this milestone, we are joined by Mr. Jonah Musheko, Manager for External Affairs and Communication at the Namibia Green Hydrogen Program. So good morning, Mr. Musheko, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning to you and the listeners. Thank you for having me.
So now, the first thing, what makes the Hiron Oshivela Green Hydrogen Plant a landmark achievement for Namibia and for Southern Africa?
Well, I think it is great that we give that context to say the Hiron Oshivela Hydrogen Project or plant that was inaugurated Friday by the president. It's a very important achievement for Namibia in terms of it being the first commercial project that has proven that the production of green hydrogen in Namibia and Africa. It is possible with local expertise as well as international expertise.
Yeah.
And it is very much possible with the environment that we have in terms of either politically or either the actual environment of, we're talking about our sunlight in Namibia. So it's very key to us as Namibia because it manifests in different ways to proving a point that Africa can do it, Namibia can do it. The technology on the high iron Oshivela project is the first of its kind in the world.
The first of its kind in the world?
In the world, not in Africa.
Yeah.
It's the first of its kind in the world to process iron ore at zero emission. Steel manufacturing or steel processing and iron ore processing globally is one of the hard to abate industries in the world, and they've got very high emission in terms of carbon. I think they are ranging between 8 to 9% in terms of contribution to carbon emission globally. So the world is trying its best to making sure that how do we change and redesign these industries that are emitting so much carbon in the world in terms of manufacturing, industrialization. Every country is pushing to industrialize, but how do we do that at a very minimal carbon print? And if it's possible to have zero emission in such an industry, it is such a very much high achievement that not just Africa is looking at us, but also globally. We have got the countries that are looking at Namibia saying that, how did we get it right? Because if you look at the production of hydrogen in other parts of the world, it is very much expensive and does not make commercial sense. But for us, if you look at the figures and the numbers, and obviously the input in terms of our solar energy, the production of hydrogen is very much minimal, that we are able to capture this opportunity.
Is there any specific, you know, that make it this unique? Is there something, maybe some factors that actually make this unique in the world, you know?
Yeah, I think, like I explained to say, the uniqueness of this plant is the fact that it processes and produces iron final product, which is a direct reduced iron ore, at a zero emission. Remember, zero emission of carbon.
Yeah.
Zero, completely zero. There is no emission of whatsoever. Remember, I think I want to be very pragmatic.
Yeah.
Usually when you look at countries where, or just in any town where there is industries, like factories, I want to use the normal words, where there are factories, you usually have got factories, we've got long pipes that are into the air, and they are usually, you know, emitting smoke. Part of that smoke is carbon. Dioxide, which the world is fighting so much to reduce in terms of climate change and our commitment to things such as Paris Agreement. So this is very much important because at this specific plant, the only gas that is emitted and pumped back into the air is oxygen. Oxygen. There is no carbon that is being emitted on this specific plant. Is oxygen, which is the same oxygen we are breathing in, you and me.
Yeah.
And if we were to be creative enough and also maybe to just try out new things again, and I think we won't limit ourselves now, looking at maybe 10 years from now on, we might even again move on to another component of capturing that oxygen. Where do we need oxygen? You need it in hospitals.
Yeah.
But that's conversation for another day. But what is making it unique is because there is zero emission of carbon dioxide from this specific plant in the processing of iron ore, which globally at all the plants you have in the world where steel is being manufactured and processed, there is high emission of carbon. And that is why the world is looking at us. The trading blocs such as the European Union, they continue in investing money in this specific industry, in this specific project. Last week, an announcement was made again to say, we as the European Union, again, we are committing this million to say, we want this project to move on to phase two because they see the potential. And that's what we want Namibians themselves also to see that potential. Mm. But very importantly to say, how do I participate as a Namibian? I think that should be the key of our conversation moving forward so that we can empower people with information and they are able to say, I have this company in logistics and what in transportation.
Yeah.
How do I participate? Not just for high iron or shibela. You've got Taurus. You've got hyphen that is likely to come through in very few years should their feasibility study goes according to plan. You've got HDF. You've got clean energy. You've got Zero that is also coming. All these are green hydrogen projects in the pipeline. Not in 10 years. Not in 5 years. In 2-3 years.
Yeah.
2-3 years. And that's what we want to make our people understand. So they prepare themselves, put themselves together and coordinate resources and also investors and also banks and, capital, people that they can invest in this industry at different levels and also be able to capture that part of local content.
Yeah, the other hydrogen, that are the initiatives that are being the one you just mentioned. Is there any coordinated mechanisms really that would help actually to maximize this sector in terms of now, in terms of funding, in terms of as you just said that we need to get involved. So what is the mechanism in place?
First of all, I would want to make it clear that when this industry, the conversation started, obviously there has been a lot of, skepticism, whether it will work out, whether it is commercially viable and things like that.
Yeah.
And from the government perspective, what we tried to do, what we did is that to say, all right, because of the skepticism and obviously, looking at our resource base as a country, most especially treasury level and other competing, needs in the country, priorities, let us not to use our own money for now because it's a new industry. We are testing its viability.
Yeah.
Let us talk to our development partners. Let's talk to our country partners in different parts of the world to say, this is what Namibia have. These are the advantages of producing this in Namibia, the sunlight, the political will, peace and stability, your investment. If you put it here, you are guaranteed that we have a very smooth movement of transition in terms of administration. So this is what we went out to the world to say, come here in Namibia. Mm-hmm. We have got these advantages and invest in this country. But in your investment, this is what you should do so that we don't just do investment alone and there's no beneficiation for our people.
Yeah.
That we mobilize the resources that we then use to invest in this, in de-risking this new industry with not our own money, but grants and soft money that we got to make sure that we invest in pilot projects, in phase one of the various projects so that we are able to say, all right, now that there is this de-risking that has happened, now we can encourage more people. Even our local banks, now they are calling us to say, oh, we are seeing what is happening. Mm. How do we get involved? The banks now want also to be on board to say, we also want to be involved so we can see how best we can invest in this specific industry. So be the same with our own people. We have started this conversation last year in terms of highly engaging the people. We have used this platform, which is Eagle FM, last December and November, to engage the people to make them understand that how do we get, this part of this local content, part of this investment that's coming to the country to be captured by our own people. Because it is really one thing to attract investment, but if investment is not changing the lives of the people, does not add value to you as a country. And also when it comes to employment, remember, we usually just address the issue of employment as employment. Even somebody is just getting a peanut salary. We want employment that changes the lives of the people.
Yeah.
The other week, we had a meeting with the Vice President, Honorable Lucia, and she highlighted to say, in our creating opportunities for our Namibian people, we must make sure that the type of employment also changes the lives of the people.
Mm.
We mustn't create employment that come back 2 years down the line, the people are still living in poverty. Then that is not employment. Employment must create wealth. Opportunities and investment must create wealth. They must create and change the lives of the people. Mm. And that is what the government wants, to get Namibian people out of poverty through different initiatives, economic initiatives, such as these, what we are pushing, which is green hydrogen production, and eventually adding value to our mineral resources.
Yeah.
You all know that our economy has been highly dependent on primary operation of the economy in terms of usually just extracting and selling. Extracting and selling. But what we want to do is get this iron ore, whether it's, we are getting it from Dodabis here in Commerce region, whether we get it from Commerce region, I mean Kunene region, whether we get it from our African neighbors, like South Africa has got a pile of it,
yeah,
and we add value to it. We process it with hydrogen, green hydrogen, and that we get the final products like what we're getting at iron ore Shabelle, and
okay,
we trade that with other countries.
Yeah. Now, I just quickly want to follow up on what you mentioned earlier, not using our own money when from the pilot, from the very beginning. So now, yeah, there is a concern that with a significant reliance on now, foreign investment, let's say foreign, mm-hmm, European funding, for funding and expertise, how does Namibia actually mitigate the risk of becoming overly dependent on the external partner for the successful of these green hydrogen initiatives?
Look, as I said, the funding that we have mobilized initially through initiatives such as the setting up of the SDG Namibia One Fund, I've given the context to say, look, we are keen as a country to participate in this industry, but we have all other competing priorities in the country. We have got the health sector, we have got the agriculture sector, we have got the education sector, we've got the defense sector that requires, again, government to cut from that specific budget to distribute to these important, very important sectors as well.
Yeah.
And the conversation earlier was that...
Mishiko, we quickly have to go to the market and then we'll be back, yeah?
Mm. Okay. Mm.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at rogers.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, just finish the point that you were making. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So I was saying the fact that we have brought up initiatives such as the SDG Namibia One Fund,
yeah,
which is a vehicle to mobilize funds, free money from those that are interested in funding this industry,
mm,
was to say, well, we want to participate in this sector, but we don't have the resources needed now in terms of capital to invest in something that is, we are piloting. We have seen in other countries where government money has been invested in piloting projects and then it doesn't work out.
Mm.
And by the way, then the reason of something to be called a pilot is to say we are testing the viability.
Yeah.
So that's why we have got, I think, two or three pilot projects that are including Daures, a green hydrogen village,
yeah,
to say we want to test the viability of this production of green hydrogen in Namibia.
Mm.
But we don't have that fund to, that money to invest in that, because, I mean, we have other competing, and I think you have seen newspaper articles in the past since last year saying that the government should not use demand its own money so that we can invest in this. But then,
yeah,
we say no problem. We will talk to our development partners that have got interest. For instance, the European Union. Why European Union? Because they are one of the, one of the trading bloc and countries that are pushing the agenda, mm, of decarbonization.
Yeah.
But if you look at the production of green hydrogen, for instance, in Europe, I think one of the speakers last week highlighted clearly to say that it is costing them close to five, it's in the range of $5 to $9 dollars or euros,
yeah,
to produce green hydrogen in Europe.
Mm.
But what is now coming out through this phase one of, for instance, High Iron Shabelle, is that it's costing us €2.
Yeah.
So the cost is not the same. So the conversation was like, okay, countries like Namibia and South Africa and Morocco and so on, have got this advantage and they are pushing and their governments are willing to test out this industry. Mm. What do we do? Let us work together. Let us talk and give you this money so that you can be able to set up pilot projects that can prove that the concept can work. When the concept can work, they are not ending there. They are coming on board and say, we want you to move on to phase two. We want you, so there is more interest that keeps coming.
Yeah.
And in that process, the Namibian government can then say, and eventually the conversation is starting to say, we are seeing that this is viable. And what we are doing as the government is not only for the sake of the government itself, but it's also for our own local investors, our own Namibian people that have got interest. Because nobody wanted to take that risk to test out the piloting and the viability of the new industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it has been proven that it is working, we have now successfully de-risked that part of the industry to say, now local people can participate because there is no high risk because their viability is tested.
Yeah.
Local banks, now they are coming on board because of the partnership that we have with our European friends and other friends from other parts of the world that have participated in the first phase of de-risking piloting. And now government can say, okay, now we can talk.
Yeah.
We also want to participate in this. You all know about Hyphen, that the government has got shares in Hyphen that will become viable based on the feasibility study that is ongoing come end of 2026. Then government, by then it will have enough data, not just from the feasibility study, but also from projects like Ayano Shivela and the pilot project like Daures, Green Hydrogen Village. So that is really the conversation in the whole context as to what, how we have, formulated the establishment of this industry to say, let us not use our money. There are people that have got money that they want to put in phase one and piloting projects. They will test their viability together with escort cooperation in international partners. When it is viable, we open it up even for the local people to participate. And also, the project that I mentioned earlier, those are not the only projects we have in terms of testing out green hydrogen. There is a lot of other smaller projects at different levels by Namibians testing out also the viability. But a project like Ayano Shivela, it is giving confidence that it can be done.
Yeah, as you said, there are international collaboration and this is also involved in advanced technology. So what are mechanisms are in place actually to ensure knowledge transfer to Namibians and to build local capacity and particularly among SMEs and the youth workforce?
Right. We'll start quickly from the youth aspect to say, For instance, the project of Ayano Shivela is initiated and is being run by young people.
Yeah.
The gentleman who is running it as the CEO, the MD, Johannes Michels, is probably in his late 30s. And also, if you look at his 50 employees or so, most of them are young people, Namibian. That project has employed, the current structure is like 98% of them are Namibian. There's a small proportion of employees that came in to help them with the connection of the pipes, the welding, the assembling of the, connecting the electrolyzers to different components of the factory. That, it was during a certain period of construction. As we speak, our Namibian people are fully in charge of that whole operation. And that speaks to capacity building and skills transfer to have your people running that project. So if you look at the phase two of the project that is now anticipated to take place, in terms of, for instance, just solar panel installation, they currently have got 25 megawatts of solar panels and in translation, 44,000 units of solar panels. The installation of those solar panels will fully be done by Namibians. It was already done by Namibians under the guidance of one or two international expertise.
Mm.
But if you look at phase two, I promise you, all of it will be done by Namibians. And it will be bigger, by the way. They will need, I think, 100 megawatts of the same kind of infrastructure to be put up as part of phase two. So it's in terms of capacity building, the capacity building is there. And I'm going to give you another example. If you look at, for instance, the Dowres Green Hydrogen Village, they've got a staff complement of about 25 to 26, I think. 98% of those are Namibian. 90% of those are from the Dowres constituency in the Erongo region. Again, capacity building. There is a gentleman in Dowres and who was just somebody who was you know, in the community. They trained that gentleman. As we speak, he is the water expert in the mini desalination plant on that specific project. Same applied to High Iron Shivela. There is a gentleman who was just a cattle header and a sheep header. As we speak, he is the machine operator, these excavators. Yeah. And his story is not just a story that I'm telling you. It's a story that we have captured. We are currently running a documentaries on platforms like NBC where these people are telling their own stories, how their life has changed through this initiative of green hydrogen, but also in terms of capacity building. Now, moving on to another component, part of the funds that we have mobilized as a program and as a country, we have mobilized resources so that we can empower and upskill our own youth so that they can be able to be participating in these new projects from different aspects. We have sent about 193 scholars, from most of them from vocational education, vocational technology centers, to go and upscale so that they can be able to, for instance, be specialized welders, specialized electricians in this industry.
Just a quick break again, and then we'll be back. Just hold on. Yeah?
Okay.
Umiaru ovurike kucha iponga evurike omaevi umurongo na gari ya vidiri pamo na mibia umvuraziko. Onkene onditara umura o awike umaru wiponga watamba kumojira de tumopa sanjika. Otashi vurika sa shimpuyu minga shoka shumojira etokopitha o umenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
All right. You didn't finish the point you were making, or you wanted to finish?
So I was saying that not just talking about capacity building on site project sites, but we're also talking about capacity building in terms of upskilling our own TVET educational people.
Yeah.
We have sent 193 of them last year. Some of them are already completed. Some of them have completed. Again, we are running phase two of this scholarship. But this one will be targeted only for the two region, which is the Karas and Haradap. Why? Because the first group that we have sent to the scholarships, there was very minimal to zero representation of the two Karas regions. I mean of the two regions, which is Karas and Haradap. Mm. And we all know that should the project of Hyphen become viable based on their feasibility study, it will be based in this particular region. It will affect mostly, the impact should be felt in these two regions initially. But then, when we saw that the participation in scholarships in the first phase was not tangible, we then are launching again another scholarship targeted just for those two regions. And remember, these are the same regions where we have got another very concerning high rate of unemployment. So we can't be speaking about creating opportunities, but we are not being specific and being intentional. And that's why we are launching again another scholarship that will be targeted just for the people, young people of the two regions, so that should Hyphen become viable based on the feasibility study, they will be able to be employed and participate in this specific project, very big project among all others.
So what are the main challenges actually facing Namibia in scaling up green hydrogen industries?
I think the first challenge I've highlighted earlier to say our fiscal ability in terms of resource-wise, we are really competing against other important priorities as a country. We've got the agriculture sector that is really a priority, more especially in this administration. We have got youth employment. We have got health sector. We've got, for instance, defense. I have highlighted some of these sectors that really get most of the budget priorities.
Mm.
So to get the, it was not an easy thing, and it's still not an easy thing for government to say we are getting, let's say, 2 billion to allocate to green hydrogen when it is a new thing, and there was a lot of skepticism. So the challenge was on that aspect of financing. But I think moving on to proving a point that this is viable, and I think the president has put it well that now we call on government officials and government ministries and agencies to support this industry, making sure that the environment is conducive in terms of investment, and also calling on other investors that have got interest, not just international investors, but also local investors that want to participate in this industry, to do so, and they will get that necessary support. So the first thing, it was that availability of resources to really invest in these phases of piloting.
Yeah.
But that was sorted out because of our international partners to say, it's fine, we can help participate by availing some funds, grant money, so that we can do the piloting. And then the other challenge people were also talking about, to say, no, there are no necessary skills that are needed to, and I think we have seen enough newspaper articles, most especially last year, where people were very so much strong opinionated to say Namibia does not have the capacity in terms of skills to run this industry. It was deemed to be very complex. But with the operation and the inauguration of the Iron Oshivela plant has shown that as Namibians, we can do anything that we put our eyes on.
Yeah.
It has shown that the capacity is in here. What we need to do is work together, help each other, build capacities where we don't have that specific capacity, but not to put ourselves down that we can't do it. It is very demoralizing if you listen to some of the conversations, for instance, last year, where we have our own people saying that we can't do it. It's not a good self-esteem tendency.
Yeah.
But I think with projects like these coming online, it gives us more confidence to say we have the capacity in the country.
Yeah.
Whether it's the capacity to put up solar panels, the capacity to assemble plants such as the Iron Oshivela, where it's a capacity to set up a green houses and green hydrogen piloting project like the Daures. That if you go to the Daures Green Hydrogen Village, they have the most sophisticated greenhouse in Namibia ever. I have been in the industry of green agriculture, and I have never seen a sophisticated greenhouse like that. Fully automated. The only people you see there are those that are doing pruning. The only people you see there are those that are doing harvesting and packaging in terms of now aligning all these type of things. But that is a skill we have in this country. And we must appreciate that we can do anything in this country so long as we put ourselves and target such and also support ourselves.
The other challenge could be the competition from countries like South Africa and Morocco. And the Deputy Prime Minister Natangwe Ithethe highlighted Namibia's competitive edge in clean energy export. So how is Namibia now positioning itself to become now the leader, the global leader in green hydrogen amidst of this competition?
You see, the way we see this is not necessarily to compete, And I think my head of the program, James Yupe, has put it so well a few days ago on one platform where he was speaking to say, we don't see other African countries as competitors.
Yeah.
We see African countries as partners that we can work together and grow the African country and the potential in Africa. If you look at the way, for instance, the European Union bloc, the way they work together in terms of just the infrastructure development and also just the coordination of industrialization in anything in their country, they work so much together that you think that there is no borders between them.
Yeah.
And that is what we want to emulate in Africa, to say we must not see these borders that we that have been put between our countries. We must be able to see our African countries as partners to work together, but not as competitors.
Mm.
I'll give you one practical example that I will link to Iron Oshivela to say part of the iron that we will be processing will be coming from South Africa. So Africa has got a pile of it, including other minerals, and they will be one of our markets where we'll be sourcing iron ore.
Yeah.
We process it at iron, and we send it back as a value-added product. We were hardly trading with South Africa at that level. This will be one of the only products, one of the very few products we are trading in South Africa, whereby we are buying something from South Africa and add value to it, sell it to them, each time the price we bought it from them.
Yeah.
And that is what we want, the cooperation and the coordination of our trade. And I think it speaks to even this Africa Free Trade initiative that we have to say, how do we create and promote the trading of products and commodities between African countries? So we don't see anything that we are doing in Africa as a competition, to answer your question. We see it as a way to work together. The other 2-3 weeks ago, we had the governor of economics and I think natural resources in Erongo region from South Africa. And he was very much impressed on what we are doing in Namibia. And he was like, how do we work together, colleagues? Remember, part of our plan is to build what we call common user infrastructure. In terms of, for instance, things like pipelines to carry green ammonia from projects like Hyphen, to say we can actually get green ammonia from Hyphen to South Africa for their value addition in the mineral that they have in places like Bohubel. So that is the coordination and the cooperation we see among African countries, not as competing brothers and sisters, but as partners to build the African country and to promote the trading between African countries.
Yeah. The high iron plant plans to increase production from 15,000 tons to 200,000 tons per year. So what infrastructural and logistical challenge need to be addressed to achieve this scale, and how are this being managed?
I think the first thing we should take note is that what will happen with the increasing in capacity from 15,000 to 200,000 metric ton, it comes with doubling the infrastructure on the site.
Yeah.
The solar panel units, they are now 44,000. That means you need either times three of those or times four of those solar panel units again. You need the same kiln. You need more electrolyzers. I think two or more electrolyzers. You need a lot of participation from local companies so that they'd be able to, you know, realize this dream of increasing the production. So for instance, the logistical challenges it's very simple things. If you drive to High Iron or Shivela, you have to pass through mountainous roads, and it's gravel road. And I think eventually this is something that will be addressed to say, okay, let us put up a better road infrastructure here so that it becomes easier for machineries like crane. When they set up their electrolyzers and the kiln and everything, they had to use the biggest crane in Namibia from Barbies Bay, the biggest crane you have in Namibia, to come to that specific site, 20 to 30 kilometers out of Arandis, gravel road, mountainous road, to make sure that it helps with the facilitation in terms of placing those heavy components into the right places. So we foresee things like maybe upgrading of that specific road, but also it's not really key challenges, because phase one has already shown how they can do it with less spending and less expenditure. So it's things like, how do we coordinate ourselves? Remember, every challenge that you see in any community or in any society, it is an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for some entrepreneurs to participate and solve that problem. What are we talking about? For instance, roads, as I've indicated, how do we make sure that we upgrade that road to a better road that can be able to carry big machineries with smooth movement of equipment? So it's kind of things like that. In terms of investment, the development partners are already on board to say that we are already putting up this amount of money.
Yeah.
Unless when we talk about phase three, when the finalization of phase two, where we will still need some investors that have good interest. And it's really open even to local investors. And I think we need to now convert our discussions to the level where we say, how do we, you know, talk to our local people that have got available funds,
yeah,
and they can be, you know, take that small risk to invest in project like this. If other countries and other companies globally, they see the potential in what we are doing and they're investing the money here, what is so hard for us to be able to see the same potential and invest and get the returns thereafter? So it's that type of conversation to say, let us see what are the challenges, is there any, and let us see how we address them. It's really in terms of how do we get the necessary companies and contractors on site to do the project within and finish the project phase two within the targeted timeline. And I think one of the things that was well, you know, praised about this Ion Oshivela is to say they finished this whole plant in less than 12 months.
Yeah.
Less than 12 months, the second biggest in terms of solar panel on site and the number of batteries they have in the country. So it shows you that we have the capacity to finish projects, capital projects, within the given time frames and using the necessary skills in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so how do we measure the success of the high iron Oshivela project and the broader Namibian green hydrogen programs? So, and how transparent is the monitoring process for stakeholders?
I think so far we have been very transparent in terms of updating the Namibian people, how far we are with most of our projects. If you check on our website, there is a document called Traction 2.
Yeah.
This document gives you a tracking of how far each of the projects is. So in its development, whether it is awaiting final investment decision, whether they are waiting for phase 2, whether they are waiting for whatever stage. We've been very transparent in making sure that the people understand where we are at each of the either pilot project or at each of the projects in terms of even including those that are commercial. So the measurement of the success of the project, of any of the green hydrogen project or any project,
yeah,
we shall measure it, one, by looking at the timeline. How long did it take them to finish a project? Because obviously we have observed over the years that there are sometimes capital projects that are initiated and they take quite a while, even 5 years above the targeted timeline of 2 years or 3 years.
Mm.
So the project must be able to be implemented within the that timeline that is planned.
Yeah.
Number two, the project must be able to be implemented with the expected and budgeted funds without going beyond what was planned and budgeted for.
Yeah.
Number three, the project must be able to manifest itself with the anticipated product and output as per the initial plan. Yeah, so those are some of the key indicators to say, have you succeeded to implement this project within the given time frame? Yes. Have you been successful to implement this project within the planned budget? Yes. Have you been successful to give us then the final product, which is in this case for high iron Oshivela, the direct reduce iron ore? Yes. And how do we move on? What is your next plan in terms of expansion?
Yeah.
Now we are already talking about. Last year, they've gotten their contract to get to produce additional 200,000 metric tons of direct reduced iron ore. These are some of the measurements that we should use to track the successful implementation of different projects. Yes, there may be some other project that they may not be successfully falling into, in places in terms of the timeline. Why? Because it is a new thing. Yeah. So we are not going to kill them just because they've gone beyond two days of what was expected, because and most especially the pilots we want to be very much flexible, because a pilot is something you're trying out new, and you are likely to say what to improve as you go. Yeah, improve as you go to say, okay, this is what we planned and we see is not working, let us improve and let us re-strategize. I'll give you one example. When this all initially started and some of these projects started now with construction,
yeah,
there was a lot of delay that was in place because of the importing paperwork that had to even go beyond as 1 month just waiting for import clearance because the equipment that were coming in the country were new equipment. It was our first time to import an electrolyzer.
Mm.
Not just an electrolyzer, but a bigger electrolyzer of 6 megawatts. One and two of them. So it was a big hassle there by the import officials in Barbers Bay to say, what is this? How do we, you know, how do we charge? How much do we charge? It's a new thing. Where is it going? And all these type of questions. So it, some of these things, because it's a new industry, we accommodate some of the delay because we are learning and we are documenting this, all these lessons, so that come phase two of, for instance, Dowry,
yeah,
we are able to say we are going to plan and we are going to communicate this type of timeline, because why? This is what we went through during phase one. And we share those knowledge and experience with other projects that are likely to come online, like HDF, to say, colleagues, when you eventually start to import your electrolyzers, make sure you have these type of papers in place because it can take this much. Make sure you adjust your timelines in terms of completion of your project so that you don't become too ambitious because of the paperwork and the delays that may occur. So those lessons are the lessons we have been looking for from pilot projects so that we can implement and learn from them moving forward as we grow the sector.
Yeah. All right. So time is catching up on us. So finally, what message would you like to send to potential investors and the Namibian people about the future of green hydrogen in the country?
I think the first is to say Namibia is proud. Our leaders are proud. The president has sent out a clear message to say that whether it is government offices and agencies, whether it is investors, let us push towards making things happen.
So let me cut you for now, and then you can finish your point quickly.
Yeah. All right.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Yes, Mr. Mashoko, your last message. Yeah.
So as I was saying that I think the president has set the tone.
Yeah.
And I really would like to encourage Namibians, not just for the green hydrogen industrial sector, but across the board to say, whatever we commit ourselves to do, let us do it. If it's agriculture, if it's mining, if it's industrialization in totality, let us support each other. And when we correct each other, let us do so with an anticipation that we want to grow this country. The inauguration and the coming online of the Iron Oshwela project is really a sign to say, as a people, we can really unite towards a specific goal and achieve it. And a lot of African countries in the world, they are looking at us. They want to learn from us. We have had a number of delegates from different African countries. Last week, we hosted the Botswana government here. They were here to learn from us,
yeah,
what we are doing as a country. So we should really be proud of ourselves, but we shouldn't allow pride to be ahead of ourselves, but to say we can do something, and we must do so to benefit our own people. In attracting investors, at whatever level where we are serving as a country, we must make sure that such investments really speak to the needs of our Namibian people, because it does not help us to have a lot of investment in the country, but the people of Namibia remain in poverty. What we are trying to fight and change is to move our Namibian people from abject poverty to a better living standard, and then we can eventually have a population that can be happy and eventually build this country and be an example to other African countries and the global, as we are doing now. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for making time this morning to really unpack this exciting and transformative development for Namibia and the entire Southern Africa region. So, yeah, it was a pleasure having you on Ann Tech in the Day.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Bye.
Yes.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
All right, welcome back. That was Mr. Jonah Mushako, the manager of external affairs and communication at Namibia's Green Hydrogen Program, really giving us the breakdown of this significant event at the an inauguration of High Iron Oshivela Green Hydrogen Plant, so near Arandas. So now you're most welcome to come through and your reaction to our discussion and your own contribution. So our telephone number 0833-66091. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
You had a good weekend?
Very much.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, let me start with when it comes to security, like cyber security and you name it.
Yeah.
Fraud and what's taking place on the internet. The thing is that they are not really educating people when it comes to this issue, especially when it comes to the use of the transaction when we are doing the payments.
Yeah.
My friends, the bank, I think they are not really protecting us as a client. The information are not really available to us because we are, we just know how to transfer money and so on.
Mm.
But at that side, where you are able to download the app, you don't know which one is a genuine and which one is a fake one.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And yeah, the other thing is that, you know, the other thing is, it's putting this into local languages.
Exactly. Yeah.
Information into local languages, not a long thing, but you know, well, people can read it. They can read it in their own local languages.
Yeah. And they understand.
Yeah. Some of these sectors are technical. Whatever they say is technical to you. You don't even understand. So, but if they have to write it, if they have to write it, you know, in your language, at least you may
you understand, Mike. Exactly. It will be better.
Yeah. So, I said maybe something. I think the my colleague is also listening. Maybe it's one of the questions he would ask the next time. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. One of the things also is that it's like sometimes also with their explanation, they're like, you know, when I'm signing even a contract for maybe, let me say, for insurance or something.
Yeah.
Do you think we have a time to go the whole the bubble?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the actual is this, that the same almost the bank was operating. Instead of just make it a short time, like the way you are, to make people understand easier.
Yeah.
It will make it so complicated and giving to them, to your clients. Really, I think we sometimes that we are then exposed to when it comes to these things because they are not really protecting us.
Yeah.
The way they are saying.
Yeah. And I think it's very, very, very important. I think we're doing really good to have actually the F&B actually having a segment, with us, because, I was listening to another radio and, the people, there was a lady, it was it in the news as well, where the, what is it? A lady lost about 600,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that one too.
Yeah, 600,000 and it was just the app. They have to download the whatever the ask that, what is that, the any desk, yeah, any desk. Mm-hmm. So and he mentioned this today, any desk. He mentioned here today any Dix and Team Viewer. So those are the things that once you open it and you get the what the I don't know what the technical words use, but the code from him that he has access now. He's just actually using his phone and as if he's is using your phone. Yeah. You have access to every information without even anything. Yeah.
And this is also taking place also when you come to what Wi-Fi sharing.
Yeah. And now because, the people were complaining, the bank, no, how can, it is not the bank, because it was not the bank. It was actually, it was like you yourself are the one who actually done the transactions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because now, it's what I'm saying, but the information, people are aware that something is taking place like this, but yeah. We don't know which one is the fake, those guys are using. And the new one, the genuine one from the bank.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying the bank need to promote more. Yeah. So to address this issue.
Yeah.
Quickly to power plants.
Mm.
My friends, this is a hard time and I think we need to do it.
Yeah.
There's no other time we can be say it's the right time. And I'm also in agreement with him, our president. I think the president is also listening maybe to Eagle FM.
Yes, she does.
There must be a credit to you guys, man. Because you see what we get talking about every day.
Yeah.
We see some house, state house, they are listening to it.
And that's why we tell people, please have your contribution and, you know, and because, you know, people do listen. Yeah, they listen here.
Yeah. To, but to, there must be a credit to you guys because we see these things taking place.
Yeah.
We've been complaining about this nuclear. Yeah. At the least, the president is talking about it. Mm. And my friend, man, you cannot tell me that we have uranium here, but we're just chipping it out to China and the other countries.
Yeah.
Using it for their power to generate. And it's very sad even that moment they will check even the Namibian of today. There's a key to two of them lost their life because of this electricity thing which we don't have. People are using candle and so on. But just imagine how many times we have to lose our life. I mean, our people have to lose our life. Today was, we had the Otoya instead of Motoraloga.
Yeah.
Because of that fire was there. And now we are looking at it, even when we put up nuclear, we'll be able to sell it to our neighboring countries.
Yeah.
Because you cannot just every time you are letting you are number what, you are on top five producing nation when it comes to uranium. But when you look at the ground, in the country itself even, there's nothing.
Yeah.
We are borrowing electricity from Eskom to extend even to go to Zimbabwe. And the last time I said we have in Zambia even.
Yeah.
You see? But we have a resource. What is stopping us?
Exactly. Yeah.
No. It's a hard time to do these things. Seriously. And I'm just glad that you guys, let us protect the meme. I think she's really on top. And what she trying to do is what we've been advocating for so long. We talk about agriculture. Now we can see that, yes, something has been done with that agriculture. Especially when it comes to our green scheme. You can see that now they are on really producing something. Because last time I heard in the news, even that the Dongari Nena was one of them.
Mm.
They have harvested already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are things which we need. Because at the moment we are being fed by somebody, that somebody is able to control. No matter what you say.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's all about leadership, my friend. And
exactly.
Yeah. So, and if we see that, I probably would be able to give our support. And this is what we do. If we as a media people, we're trying, you know, to provide information like this to people so that, you know, they are aware what is happening, they are accountable and all that. Yeah.
Very much. And I'm just so happy that at least we've been talking about this nuclear and now she's come on board to say it.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing indeed. Because last time we even heard that instead of NAMPOWER to advocate it, NAMPOWER they are going to borrow money from US to put up a new plantation.
Yeah.
And when you look at we don't need so much of those things. What we need here is what the gentleman was saying about the solar energy.
Yeah.
We have so many, even biomass. In Namibia, you don't see much people are talking about it, but it's one of the controversies when it comes to electricity.
Mm.
But in Namibia, we just rely on too much what an hydro instead of solar energy and wind power.
Yeah.
If you are living a desert with open, I'm telling you, in those, if you put in those dunes and then you say they out there what, the winds are blowing.
Yeah.
At the coastal area. And when you have a look at the sun, come on, we have a sun, enough sun, which it can generate a lot of electricity, but we really, I don't know. Where's our power when it comes to Nampa? What did they do instead of just making Namibian people when it comes to electric tariff?
Yeah.
It's always up. Just imagine you are paying electricity but, for 500, but my friend, you only are going to get even 120 or somewhere around there.
It's resources that we have, and we're not making use of it to benefit us. I think that's the problem.
And this is also hindering when it comes to investors, because the investors are looking at what is the source of energy, water, all those things are matter.
Exactly.
Facility like, property. Those are things which are hindering also investors to come in Namibia.
Yeah.
And we don't see that that's the first priority we're supposed to set on is to make it easier for everybody, road network, electricity, water available. And if the tariff of electricity is higher, how do you think people are going to ready to generate, or even the people with their salary, how they are going to survive if the thing is so much high? Because everything is move up with it. The moment the electricity is so high, the land, where you are, long road, where you are ending, it's also increased.
Yeah.
It's like that. And the basic necessary, like food and so on, also it's going up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let them end up there, my boss.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through.
Okay, thanks, yeah.
All right. So, Tom, it's 9 o'clock. And, I think, this is an exciting and transformative, as I said earlier, development for Namibia. And the entire Southern Africa, regions. So the inauguration of the high iron or Shivela green hydrogen, plant, the first facility of this kind in Southern Africa dedicated to zero emission, iron production. So, that's something that we should be, really, celebrate a groundbreaking moment, for our country and the continent. And it's a bold step forward into the future of sustainable industrial development. Yeah, so it's a 600 million investment that's near Arandas in the Erongo region. It's really significant. So maybe not just because of the price tag, but for what it represents, innovation. International collaboration, as we have heard from Mr. Mosheko, and strong focus on Namibia's potential, in the green energy space. So, and Mr. Mosheko will be also joining us, I think at Nkuntana Dingi, in Oshiwambo. He will be on there. So make sure that, if you didn't get what he really said, maybe in English, or if you missed that, you will catch him again on Nkuntana Dingi, our Oshiwambo, program on this again. So he will be on there, as well. So, please do come through. What is your reaction? Our time is 1 minute past the hour of 9. And, what is your reaction? What is your take? Our telephone number again, 08333 66091. So, you may come through and have your reactions. Yeah. And reaction to, and not only to this, but also we also have the F&B segment. You can also react on that as well. Okay, so you can also react on that segment as well, if there's anything that so that we can pick up also some of your question. If you have some question, we can also pick up those questions to ask, the guests that normally come from F&B. So, What are your take? What is your take? And what are your comments? What is your reactions? Yeah. So, yeah. I think there are a few things that I really, in our discussion that I picked up. The high iron, you know, plant, is designed for a zero emission iron production. Which is actually a revolutionary move, you know, in an industry often, criticized for its carbon, footprint. So, and this aligns specifically, perfectly with the global shift towards decarbonization and clean energy. So, and Namibia is actually positioning itself as a leader in green technology, as he mentioned, and that's something we should be all proud of. All right. So, but you know, this is not just. When we're talking about, it's not just about climate. It's not just about being environmentally friendly, in terms of decarbonization and clean energy. But it's about economic transformation as well. You know, this project aims to add value, to our natural resources, right here at home. And this is something that we, and as also Mandumbe ambition, this is something that we always cry for. Instead of exporting, raw materials only to buy back finished product at premium. So we will have, you know, resources processed here, right here at home. And this is what we mean. By resource beneficiations, which the president mentioned, and it's about keeping more of the wealth generated by our resources within our borders, and it is not that what every nation aspires to. So definitely. As I said, you can come through. Our time is about, we still have a couple of minutes, before we come to the end of our unpacking the day. So our telephone number, we're in Onangwe Studio, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So yeah, as I said, it's about economic transformations. So, and this is what, even the president actually referred to by a resource beneficiation. So it's about keeping one of the wealth generated by our resources within our country. So yeah, and we also from the discussion during the construction phase, the project created about 400 direct jobs. Those 400 jobs, actually those are 400 families benefiting from the initiative, you know. So, and the maintenance phase, which you also spoke about, has provided an additional 100 jobs, and 90% of which went to young Namibians. So yeah, so this is exactly the kind of employment opportunity our country needs, particularly for our young people. So yeah, but however, here, this is unpacking. we must ask, is this enough? Is this enough? How do we ensure such projects, like other projects that he mentions, create sustained, long-term job opportunity rather than just short-term, a boost, you understand? Yeah. So, yeah. Those are some of the aspects that come out of our discussions, and then the matter of international partners. The plant brought together a component from country like the United States, China, Japan, Germany. You know, showing how global collaboration can lead to local transformations, as we have seen in terms of high iron Oshivela plant. So, and Namibia also leveraged its strategic partnership with the European Union, particularly Germany, you know, to make this project a reality. So these partnerships are vital for access to advanced technology and definitely investment. But I think the critical question is, how do we ensure that this partnership, for example, remain equitable? You know, are we getting the maximum benefit, or are we risking becoming a source of raw materials and cheaper labor for global industries? You know, and this is a question we should be asking as we celebrate, this such a milestone. So there are still those real questions that we need to ask. So we know where we're coming from, my dear. You know, fool me once. What is the other thing? We also talk about the Namibian competitive edge in the green energy space. Clean energy is now, is now a selling point in global markets. So with consumer increasingly favoring a product made with renewable energy. So for that reason, and that also when we talk, when Mandume also mentioned that, this position, it's positioned as a leader, you know, in sustainable industrial productions, if we seriously invest into this. So that's really, very important. So, yeah, but while the high iron project is a shining example of what can be achieved, really a shining example of what can be achieved, it also serves as a blueprint, for what, more can be done. You know, it's really served as a blueprint that this can be done and give that opportunity to even local investors to invest in green hydrogen, other projects that are still under pilot phase. So how do we replicate this model in other sector also? How do we replicate these models in other sectors? What policy need to be in place to attract more investment like this, while also, you know, safeguarding our interests, which is very important and something that the president really, really, really emphasizing. So, and most importantly, so how do we ensure that the benefits trickle to every Namibian, not just, you know, a select few? And that's the problem of inequality in our country. So I want to hear from you, our listeners. You know, what do you think about the high iron Oshivela plant? So is this a start of a green revolution for Namibia? Do you think this is a start for a green revolution for Namibia, and or are there gaps where we need to address to make sure everyone benefits? So yeah, let's keep the conversation going and unpack how we as a nation can harness our potential in the green and a green economy. So telephone number 0833 66 091, 0833 66 091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
With the Omjo. Chikao Shafa Moshiwana. Ota ingongo tithamweni. Anagashifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa Oronjika. Zeithani na omayakuro ni randitomwa iwe, yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuinomeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara ompashifareki uimopo iwe moe programa letu. Moambo, lengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Natunga tu, heari hamanantano, owandiyaji. Eagle FM, so aza.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, do listen to Eagle FM and stay connected to Eagle FM by, you know, downloading the Eagle FM app, which you can do it. You can download from the Eagle FM, Google Play and or from, the App Store, and stay connected, to Eagle FM wherever you are. Whether in or outside of this country, whether you are in the office, wherever you are, so you will be able to be connected. Do that now so that you have the mobile app with you and be connected all the time. So, so I thought people would be excited about the Oshivela, the high iron Oshivela, plant. All right. Yeah. So what is your reaction? We still have a couple of minutes or should I go to, I don't want to go to the second item. It's quite a, yeah. But if you don't come, I will have to do that because I still have about, you know, 15 minutes before I end the show. So yeah, the other thing, maybe let's stay on energy. By 2026, eligible consumers, will be able to directly import power. That was an announcement made by Chama Chivikwa, Deputy Board Chairperson of the Electricity Control Board, during the market model implementation workshop for the modified single buyer MSB model in Swakopmund. So this is a story in today's sister e-newspaper, The Villager by Justicia Shipena. Make sure that you subscribe to receive your digital copy today. So telephone number where you can subscribe, you send the WhatsApp message with your number and email is 081-241-44. So that's the number to subscribe. So now I still have a couple of minutes. So yeah. Namibia is when you're looking at the story, Namibia is really shaking up things up with its electricity sector reforms, moving away from the traditional single buyer model where NamPower held all the cards. So they're moving away away from that. Now, the independent power producers and large energy users, what is called contestable consumers, can enter direct agreement for their power supply. So it is part of a larger plan called the Modified Single Buyer or MSB model. So why this is actually important, why this is matter? Because first, it introduces a competition. I think that's the first thing. It introduces competition. The more player in the market, the more likely it is that electricity tariff will drop. So, and for business and household, like for business and household alike, this could actually translate to lower costs down the line. So, now this is why, well, it's also getting interesting here. So, Namibia, and this is why it is getting more. As I said, I want to say this is why it's getting more interesting. Namibia imports about 50% of its electricity. So import about 50% of its electricity, sometimes paying over $1 billion Namibian dollar annually, you know, to import electricity. So that's a lot of money leaving our borders, you see. It's a really, really massive money leaving our borders. So, and this reform aimed to change that. So, this reform is actually aimed to change that. The ultimate goal is to reduce import to a 30% by 2028. Reducing the import to just 30%. By 2028, and beyond that, Namibia wants then to become a net exporter of renewable energy. So, yeah. And just imagine us supplying power to the region instead of buying it from our neighbors. So, yeah, that's the vision. That's actually the vision. Whether that can be achieved, that's another story on another day. So, yeah. But the reason why, I'm just going through the story. So, but why really focus on renewable energies or renewables? Well, energy isn't just about really, you know, keeping the light on. it's about really driving industrial growth. It's about creating jobs. It's about improving services, like healthcare, education, you know, agriculture. So renewable energy is at the heart of these transformations. And, with 36 independent power producer already contributing to our grid. So it looks as if the groundwork is being laid already. Okay. So however, there are issues, you know, I always sound like a, you know, when people having a party and you come, you're kind of like a party pooper, you know, so, yeah. So no, what I want to say is that according to the story, according to the article, still before we can move to phase two of this model is where direct power import by eligible consumers become a reality. So we need to hit some big milestones. So, and that's where now I'm actually, you know, what? Should I a party pooper? Well, I'm pooping up the party. So one of these is actually achieving now. So one of the milestone that we need to achieve to become the whole power the direct power import by eligible consumer become a reality So we need to hit some big, some of this big milestone, which is actually achieving 80% local electricity self-sufficiency, you know. And we are not there, so we are not there definitely. And but there are progress being made. So yeah, so the article also talked about the role of regulation. Regulation plays a critical role in this transition. Namibia is setting up the National Energy Regulatory Authority to oversee not just electricity but all energy forms. So and this is not just a bureaucratic reshuffle like the reshuffling of the ED. You know, it is a strategic move to align policies with our energy goals. So yeah, and there's also a call for informal regulation. You know, the informal regulation. Why? Because the legal process can be slow sometimes. And by the time a new laws are passed, the energy market might have already moved on. So the call for informal regulation is to allow that flexibility, being the name of the game, that there should be some kind of flexibility. So, and of course, there are challenges. There are some challenges as well. And, the major issue is the cost of imports, which keep tariff higher. So the reform aim now to replace these imports with the cheaper local, generations. But we can do it. But, can we do it? You know, can we do it actually fast enough to meet the growing demand? So these are some of the questions. So, speaking of the growing demand, Namibia energy's needs are over 700 megawatts. You know, with new industry like the mining ramping up, this will only grow. So the good news, our country is well positioned to become a regional power supply, leveraging our political stability and as also this abundant resources that we have. So, what do you think? Are these reforms enough to secure Namibia's energy future? So, or will local generation reduce costs and boost jobs? So, or are we moving too slow to keep up with the demand? So, yeah. So there are also other stories within that you can check in today's edition of what I nearly said of WhatsApp. Of the Villager, that you can look at it. So we're going to look at some of those headlines after this.
Park your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, today's edition of the Villagers, the e-newspaper. There are a few stories, stories that you can find there. European firm target 430 billion investment in Namibia's green hydrogen. So as the country open its green iron production plant. So, that's quite massive money, that the European firms actually, want, or, should I say thinking of investing in Namibia, green hydrogen, projects. So the other story is the one I just actually, you know, I went through, the eligible consumers to import power, directly by 2026. And also, there are also an urgent call to upgrade, Charlie Cutline Road. So this is from the, what is that? Bungu constituency. So that's that, the Bungu constituency councillor, Titus Shimodifonya, has called on the government to urgently upgrade the Charlie Kali, Cutline, road. So that's another story there. So, and we also have, the Rundu woman thrives in woodcraft business. So that's also another story there that you can read for yourself. And first of all, you have to subscribe. If you don't subscribe, you don't get the copy. So you have to subscribe. So yeah, on a sports side, so Nedbank fuels weekends of cycling. So the Nedbank Namibia provided a weekend filled with exciting cycling in Windhoek. So those are some of the stories you can read for yourself in the e-newspaper, the Villagers are off today. So our time, 30 minutes past the hour of 9, and that's actually bring us to the end of our Unpacking edition today. So yeah, let me wish you a very good day, and wish you you to continue listening to Eagle FM, to the programs that are coming up. So Mind the Gap, it's coming up right away, with Helmut. And from me, until we see each other again tomorrow at the same time on the same frequency here, on the same station here on Eagle FM. So for me, Mike Oshavelli, have a pleasant day ahead, and a goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafata Nana Longishifa Yao Shuike Moshiwana. Iyo Moyawo Otaingo Botamani. Ana Geshifa Yanamibia Ombitombo Nawa Onjika. Seitanina Omayaguro Nirandikoma Iye Yongeshifa Yoyo Kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe 22 Meha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara Omkwashifareki Uimopo Yomoe Programa Detu. Moambo Lengera Selma.
onara heta timu datunda tu heri hamano tano o aliaj Eagle FM.
Listen to Eagle.